Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. In just over 2 weeks, voters in the city of La Crosse will head to the polls to select a new mayor. This follows La Crosse Mayor Matt Harder's decision to not run for re-election after one term. That opened the floodgates, and a number of candidates from across the city stepped forward, each thinking he had the best vision for the city of La Crosse. Following a primary, two candidates remained, Tim Cabot and Doug Farmer. They join me today for a mayoral candidate forum, during which they'll discuss some of the most important issues facing the city. Thank you two so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Each candidate will have 2 minutes to answer a question, and you'll take turns deciding who answers which question. So, Doug Farmer, you won the coin toss, and you said that Tim Cabot will be going first.
Right.
So, Tim, I'm wondering if you can just start out by introducing yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thank you. And thanks for the opportunity for being here today and getting a chance to talk about these issues. I think it's very important that we have these types of dialogue so that our voters and citizens can make a good choice here for our election on April 2nd. I'm excited to be here because of the issues. I think we have a great city here in La Crosse, and I look forward to working hard every day to make it even better. I currently serve as the director for Downtown Main Street, which is a nonprofit business group that works to promote and revitalize downtown La Crosse. We've had a lot of great success, I think, over the years, especially the last several years, with increased participation in our events and our businesses who have been just having a great momentum, and I've learned a lot from them. Before that, I was the city's manager of the economic development program, so I worked in our industrial parks, worked on our small business loan programs, worked in our neighborhoods to try to help revitalize the housing and address some of the issues there. In all, I have over 20 years of experience at the local government level working to make local communities better places through the cities and counties that I've worked for. And that experience includes preparing and balancing budgets and managing staff and writing grants and all those good things. My goals for the city and as mayor are really threefold. I want to work to strengthen our neighborhoods. I think there are housing areas that and housing stock that we need to rebuild. We need to strengthen our local economy and work with our business community. And I really want to work in City Hall to improve our city. My family, the Cabot family, has been here for many generations. We've got a lot of roots here. And we want to, there are folks that have worked in the factories and worked in the schools and in the taverns. And so I love this city. That's why I want to be the next mayor, because I want to make it even better.
And Doug Farmer.
Well, thank you very much. And this is a rare pleasure to be on Newsmakers. I've had the pleasure of representing the city of La Crosse on the city council for 26 years. And I have to thank people right off the bat there, because I have loved every single minute of it, and I'm very grateful to have had the opportunity. What I've enjoyed more than anything else is when someone calls at home at night or comes over to the back door and they come with a problem with City Hall, in theory, that is tied up so tight it's like a string ball, and they're at their wits' ends. And once I even had somebody come and call me and leave a message that John Satori says, you're the only one who could solve this problem. Those people, I went and sat in their kitchen. I wanted to find out what problem could be that big. But I have loved when people bring those problems over, explaining to them how we get this solved. And we'll go A, B, C, you do this, I'll do that. I've loved that. It is a source of personal satisfaction for me that has been the high point of my life. There's nothing greater that I've enjoyed more than that. And I look at the mayor's office, it's essentially that. The door is there, the door is open, and you really are the grand council member. And they can come in and bring that problem, because at that point, I tell people at work, too, if a customer comes to see me, that means that, and they've gone through all the other hoops, it means they're telling me that I like being your customer, I need help staying your customer, and I want to stay your customer. And when someone comes into the mayor's office, it's very much the same thing. They like living here. They want to stay here. They just need some help. And that is what I find the greatest satisfaction. We'll get into all the qualifications and things I've done, I'm sure, in the questions. But that is the satisfaction, and I want to thank everybody for the opportunity to do that.
So both of you addressed this a bit in your opening statements. But in your mind, what are La Crosse's greatest strengths? And what are its weaknesses? Where does it need a little help? Doug Farmer?
Our greatest strength is we have some very unique neighborhoods, a series of neighborhoods that are quite unique, and even architecturally, the people who live in them. The danger or the stress is that some of them are at a tipping point. We've always had pockets here and there that are under unique stress. But for the first time since I've lived here, and I've lived here for 42 or 3 years, we have some of these neighborhoods, greater sections are at a tipping point, and that is the challenge. Now, I've spent the last 22 years as chairman of the city's Housing Rehab Committee, and we have rehabbed 1,100 homes in those 22 years. Sounds like a lot, and if things had remained static, it would have been a lot. But unfortunately, there's an ebb and flow, and we probably lost as many homes or more than we saved in that time period. In that same committee, the housing replacement program emanates from. We haven't replaced as many houses, somewhere around 30. That's more cumbersome and more expensive to do that. But those are the things we need to do to preserve our neighborhoods, and we need to have better enforcement of both the building codes and the criminal violation codes, because the neighborhoods are under stress from that too.
And Tim Cabot.
Well, I think a couple of our greatest assets, I mean, one that I would point to are natural resources that we have here, the bluffs, the rivers, the marshland. It's really unlike no other area, I think, in the Midwest. You've got this this ability, and I know it's been talked about, and Dave Miles gets the credit for it, of being the 10-minute city where everything is 10 minutes away. I mean, you can literally be in the neighborhoods that Mr. Farmer's talking about, and 10 minutes you can then be out in the wilderness, in the marsh, with all of the great, you know, just natural resources. I think that's an asset. But I also think the greatest asset is the people of the city. Interacting with them, working with them, there's a real sense of community here. I witness that every day, not only in, you know, the job that I work, but in the campaign as well. And the sense of volunteerism, the sense of wanting to give back, the sense of wanting to make this a better place, I think just pervades throughout all of La Crosse. And I do think that it's that work ethic that people have here. It's that, you know, care that they have to make this place better than how they found it. And I think that's our greatest asset.
So both of you have stated that neighborhood revitalization should be a priority and should be looked at. What exactly is it that you're proposing when it comes to neighborhood revitalization within La Crosse? Tim Cabot?
Well, and I'm very glad that neighborhoods are a focus of this campaign. It's been that way through the primary, and I think that's it's important, because neighborhoods are the backbone of our community. I mean, it's obviously the place where people choose to live, and it's got the neighborhood parks and schools and, you know, everything that goes along with why people choose to live where they live. And we have to make sure that La Crosse remains a place where people choose to live. You do that through a number of different ways, and I've got a number of different programs that I would like to work on. I think the city's programs, their own programs, the housing replacement, the housing rehabilitation programs are very good programs. We need to continue those. We need to see if there's opportunities to enhance those so that we can build more homes and rehab more homes. I think you do that by leveraging those city dollars and trying to work with private, you know, contractors and private side, and also with our nonprofits like Cooley Cap and Habitat for Humanity. So I think housing is a big part of that. I think our infrastructure needs to be addressed, you know, again, planting more trees, dealing with the curbs and gutters, those things that the city does well. Resources are always the challenge. But I think if you're being creative, you can find ways to do that. And then I think also it's some of the crime issues. I think there are certain areas of the city that, you know, we do have to deal with the crime. And I'm a big believer in community policing. I think the police chief, our new police chief, is as well. And I would like to see more of the officers out of their squad cars, walking the beats, getting to know the neighbors and the businesses, because I think that's how you, help to catch folks that are not doing good things, and also help to deter crime when you build those relationships.
And Doug Farmer, what do you propose when it comes to neighborhood revitalization?
Well, it's been an interest of mine for a long time. During the primary, Randy Magno, who was also running for mayor, And we used to joke that he's worked hard on the neighborhoods in terms from the citizen side, and I've worked hard on the neighborhoods from the city council side. And we used to joke that after all these years of he and I working on it, everybody talking neighborhood, he and I should just declare victory and go home. Because here we are working on it. So we haven't achieved victory. At least we have people talking about it. All right. The housing rehab program was very good for the last 20 years. It needs to ramp up with a few more dollars. And to that end, I've argued that the airport TIF number 4, state statute gives us the right to extend that, and that would for 1 year, and take the money and put it towards affordable housing, and that would give us, especially if you maintain our funding that we have now, plus that somewhere around $3 million in the next 2 years. Now we would really have to ramp up, and that's one of the reasons to start talking about it now, before it all becomes eligible, because you have a definite time period you have to get it spent in, It is policing. We need to police the quality of life crimes better. All right. There's nothing that takes down a neighborhood faster than people parking in the alley, public urination, excessive noise. Those crimes are not reported quickly, or are they enforced quickly? And it takes a neighborhood down it degrades a neighborhood very quickly.
So this week we asked community members if they had any questions for the two of you. And our next question comes from Nancy, who lives in La Crosse. And she wants to know what the criteria is for neighborhoods that need help. How exactly do you prioritize what needs the revitalization? Doug Farmer?
Well, it's the housing rehab program is a function of income and number of people living in a house. And all affordable housing, I think, probably comes from that standpoint. It isn't that you just go find a house that is poorly maintained. A house that's poorly maintained should be cited by the inspection department for poor maintenance. The program is not to rehab houses of people who can afford to do it. Affordable housing is to assist those people where it might be slightly beyond the range. Now, the present housing rehab program, I should run through this for people because if nothing else, I want to publicize it. We can spend up to $25,000 per house. And it does not interrupt the cash flow of the homeowner because whatever we put into that house goes on the back end of their mortgage and sits there. They never pay on it until the house sells or the people pass on. So that is really the epitome of a good program because the taxpayer gets all their money back, and it accrues at 3% a year nominally to cover inflation. But the homeowner's cash flow is never impeded, interfered with, so that it is really the definition of affordable housing because you put the money into the kitchen, the windows, getting the lead out, a new roof, a vinyl siding, their cash flow is never interfered with.
Tim Cabot, how would you prioritize neighborhoods when it comes to neighborhood revitalization?
Well, we have a number of groups who, both groups that have been around for several years, many of our neighborhood associations, and then also we've got a fairly new group, the Neighborhood Revitalization Commission, and I think, that group really is the umbrella for the neighborhood associations. There's four or five very active neighborhood associations. I think those are the folks that you work with initially to identify those priorities. I think there's also some neighborhoods out there that don't have formal neighborhood associations that we should be working with them to help form. I know that there's one on the far upper north side. There's a lower north side Depot Neighbors Neighborhood Association, and then there's a group that's just a little bit to the north of that has been talking about forming for several years. So I think you work with the neighbors. You work with those associations and the Neighborhood Revitalization Commission to identify those priorities because they know their neighborhoods better than anyone. They live with them. They know the folks and they know what those challenges are. So I think if you reach out and build those partnerships between the city government, again, nonprofits, our larger institutions like what's going on right now with the Powell Hood Hamilton neighborhood and Gunderson Lutheran, that's where the priorities will be established. And then from there you try to work and form new groups as time goes on.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Today, we're joined by La Crosse's mayoral candidates, Tim Cabot and Doug Farmer. Tim Cabot, the next question goes to you first. A recent study found that La Crosse's low-valued housing stock is keeping property taxes high, as well as a number of other issues. How would you propose improving La Crosse's homes, and are you concerned that increased values on these homes could drive people out of their homes? Tim Cabot.
Well, I thought it was a very interesting, very enlightening study that Carl Green with the UW Extension has put together, and that's helped actually to provide information to the Housing Task Force, the City County Housing Task Force that, you know, and met for a while to come up with recommendations. So very, very good information, very timely. The issue of our housing stock and our high tax, you know, rate, that's part of it. There are many other factors, of course, that have gone into that. But when we're just talking about housing now, I do think that you've got to have a combination of new housing. So there's got to be the programs to build new housing in some of these areas. I think the way that that's been done by, finding the low value homes or having the city acquire those and then working to build new houses is worked out well. I'd like to see more of that. I also think it's things like paint and fix-up grant programs. The Washburn neighborhood has done a great partnership with the city and the La Crosse Community Foundation to get grant funds to do more paint and fix-up. And those are low-dollar type programs. It's a lot of sweat equity that goes into them, but you can accomplish some upgrades to a number of homes that way. And then the neighbors, it's a ripple effect. And so that's another way to upgrade the housing. When it comes to, you know, the assessed values and whether or not we're going to get to the point of pricing people out of their homes, I mean, that is a balance for sure. I do think that I think the issue, of course, is, gentrification. We want to be wary of that. That's happened in other communities. It's not something I don't think we'll see in La Crosse for a while yet because we have a ways to go, but it is something that, like through our fees, there's a program that the Neighborhood Revitalization Commission wants to implement that has that provides grants to keep people's assessment the same for 5 years. So that's something that I would like to definitely implement as mayor.
And Doug Farmer.
Well, your question didn't mention also is that La Crosse's rental concentration rate is at 48%. Which is the third highest in the state of Wisconsin, only behind Madison and Milwaukee. And we're significantly ahead of the other quote-unquote college towns. And so that is also reflected in that same $100,000 figure. But as I said last night at another one of these debates, every time you do that, I lose my as I said last night in another one of our debates is we are who we are. And we have to take care of the people who are here. The implied in your question is, wouldn't it be wonderful if all our houses were worth $300,000, okay, or $200,000? And that's not us. We are who we are, and the $100,000 median is what we have. But that's one of the reasons go back to the housing rehab program. We can improve people's houses so that they can live there. We can enjoy increased assessment, but they aren't burdened with the expenses of that improvement. It, as I said, goes on to the back of the mortgage, behind all the other mortgages, and waits for them to sell the house. And sometimes we wait 20 to 30 years. You're not forcing people out of their houses then. You don't over-improve it and make it so they can't afford to live there. There's no justice in that. And I was on the City-County Housing Task Force, and that is I think the solution lies.
We've talked about neighborhoods and the areas that people live. Now let's talk about downtown and downtown revitalization. Where are the opportunities for that? Doug Farmer.
Well, downtown's come a long way, and not to take any away from Tim's speech about what he's done since he's been there. I had the privilege of working downtown in the 1970s, and then I had the privilege of witnessing it during the 1980s when it truly was a ghost town. I don't think we realize how far our downtown has come. I always remind the council that if you really want to see another city that hasn't fared as well, go to Eau Claire, where they take the traffic signals and put them on blink at 6 o'clock in the evening. I mean, there's proof positive there's nothing in that downtown. We have a downtown that, by comparison to others, is quite vibrant. Now, yes, there's still, I think, 50 empty storefronts, and we had Grand River Station. And I caution people not to get too excited. We are still in a recession. We may call it the new normal, but it is not exactly boom times. You have an 8% unemployment rate. It's a national recession. And so it isn't like we're falling behind. Economic development has to have an economy that is rolling too. And so I don't our downtown has come a long ways. It's a fairly solid downtown now, and there's much activity there. And if you look over the stuff that I've written over the years, in 1987, when I first ran for city council, I spoke exclusively of downtown. And then if you look at the letters, I've been opposed every time I've run. If you look at the letters that I've sent out as the campaign, as time has gone by, I focus less on downtown and more on our neighborhoods. And that's because downtown is taking care of itself largely, and the neighborhoods are what we need to worry about next.
And Tim Cabot, what can be done about downtown revitalization?
Well, I do think we have a lot of great momentum going, and I agree that we get to benefit from the success or the success that we have from all of the hard work and the investments from the folks that came before us. So we do respect the fact that we've had a lot of attention paid to downtown over the last several decades. I can't imagine what downtown would be like if we didn't have those initial investments for the La Crosse Center and for the Radisson Hotel and the 100 Harborview and those initial renewal projects. So there's been a lot of great things happening downtown. We still have challenges, of course. There's still vacant storefronts. I think it's actually closer to 30 vacant storefronts. That number was 50 a few years ago, but it has gone in the right direction, and I hope to see that continue. But those storefronts are opportunities because we have good, very good property owners downtown who work well with the entrepreneurs that want to start a business. And they're very flexible with rents and in trying to keep those operating costs low so that the new business can get their leg up for a year or two, and then rents and things can be adjusted. So we still have vacant storefronts, but the opportunity that I really see over the next several years is more housing downtown. We still have many upper floors that are sitting empty that could serve as great places to live. The building right across the street from my office, where the Monet Flower Shop is that Marvin and Michelle Wanders own, they rehabbed the top two floors of that building and put three beautiful apartments in there, and those apartments were basically spoken for before they even started the project because people want to live downtown. Young professionals in their 20s and 30s and folks who are maybe empty nesters, their 50s and 60s, want the same thing. They want to live in a vibrant place, and that's what downtown has to offer. And I think if we can keep that momentum going, that will be critical.
And let's talk about the issue of public safety. What in your mind needs to be addressed when it comes to public safety? Tim Cabot.
Well, again, I think there is no one, single solution for these issues because they are very, very complicated. But I think there's a number of things that we can do as a city. I think I had mentioned earlier the idea of community policing. I'm a big believer in that model. I think, again, having relationships between the police officers, the neighborhoods and those businesses, the better and more that you can build those relationships, it's going to help solve those crimes. It's going to help deter future crimes, and it's going to also deal with some of those things like graffiti and some of the vandalism because, again, when the police officers are out of their cars, they're walking a beat, they get to know and build those relationships, and I that's something that I look forward to. So I think there is a component for that. There are other solutions, the court systems that we have, working on programs. And then also I think education is a big thing. If folks have educational opportunities, they have opportunities for jobs, and those jobs can, support a family and allow them to invest in their homes and their schools, that's going to address these crime issues. So I think it's a number of approaches that we've got to work on, but I do think that things like community policing and working with our neighborhoods is the right way to do it.
And Doug Farmer, what needs to be addressed when it comes to public safety?
Well, I think the thing I keep thinking of on this is I know we have 17 department heads, and I know 16 of them well enough to know that when they tell me something, I can tell you what they aren't telling me. I know them to the back of their own heads. The one I don't know all that well is the police chief. I've talked to him several different times, and I talked to him again this week. But the fact of the matter is that I don't know him that well. I haven't worked with him for 4 or 5 years, and we haven't faced an angry crowd together. And it dawns on me as I talk to him that we brought him in. He is the professional. He is the guy who knows. And the first order of the next mayor is to let him do his job, because he is the professional, and we need to see what he can do. The people, I wasn't on the search and screen committee that picked him, but they picked him for a reason, and we need to have him show us what that reason is. And I believe that very strongly. When I was on the county board, I served on the law enforcement committee, and I've worked with the police closely on various drug houses in my neighborhood. But I believe very strongly that he is the expert. We are not, and we need to offer him the opportunity for a couple of years to see where he's going to take us, because we picked from outside, from Waukesha, Wauwatosa, one of those two. But the result is that we have somebody who is a definite opportunity for us, and we need to have him show us where we're going.
And our next question relates to public safety, but it comes from another resident of La Crosse.
My name is Jim Zill. I live on the south side of La Crosse. And there's been a lot of heroin traffic in some of the neighborhoods on the south side of La Crosse. And it seems like the neighbors are kind of up in arms and the police know about it. Doesn't seem like anybody's really doing anything to be proactive about getting rid of these heroin house-selling houses. And I was wondering what the next mayor would do about that.
Doug Farmer, the increase in heroin use.
Well, heroin is definitely the headline crime right now. And that's easily documentable by the drugs that Tri-State Ambulance is administering to reverse a heroin overdose. You can see the twofold or threefold increase in the last 3 or 4 years. What that graph doesn't show you is the fact that our drug culture is moving from one drug to another, and heroin is the headline, but they're moving off of meth or they're moving off of cocaine to this. I can tell you I've had two drug houses across the alley in my neighborhood. I've had several in my district, which I've worked with the police. It's an ongoing problem. I don't know that there's going to be a magic answer coming from the next mayor as to how to solve America's drug culture. That is a big problem. And I'm not sure that we're necessarily winning that war. Heroin is now the headline drug, and we will have to deal with it much the way we dealt with the others. And that's the best I can tell you. And that subject I've not had a chance to talk to the new police chief on.
And Tim Cabot, the issue of heroin?
Well, I hate to sound like a broken record here, but I think it gets back to the community policing idea again, because the police chief, when I've spoken to him, they've had great success in Waukesha, where they've again gotten the patrol officers out walking a beat, and it's the benefits. It is not a panacea, of course. It doesn't solve every problem, and heroin is a big issue, but. From a policing standpoint, I do think that, having the police work with the neighborhoods and work with the neighbors is real critical. And as mayor, again, you trust and you work with your professional staff and try to be a facilitator where you need to be. That I have as a neighborhood planner in another community, we had a drug house in the program. Basically, the police and the city and the code enforcement and the departments work together to basically condemn that house and turn it into a neighborhood center. And then the police actually set up their satellite offices there. So I think there's other communities that are working on the same issue. And there are good ideas out there. I think, again, working with the police chief, working with our neighborhoods, looking for those other ideas is the way to do it.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Today, it's a La Crosse Mayoral Candidate Forum with Doug Farmer and Tim Cabot. Stay with us. Our forum continues in just a minute. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. Thank you.